Greetings, Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Would you go with me together in prayer to the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, my sister just sang, we need to bow down and worship you. So Lord, today I just thank you for this opportunity as we come together to worship, to encourage one another in the word, to expound upon the things, the truths of your word, so that those who don't know you in the pardon of their sins might be saved, and that those of us who do know you and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, that we might be strengthened in our faith. Lord, we just pray that you would just bless this service and magnify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving. Man, Thanksgiving. Man, this is the time that you're really happy that you have children that live outside of your house. You can go to one house and eat. If you get a mind, you can go to the other one's house to eat. And then you can go home and eat everything that you packed up. Ah, life is good. Life is good. We want to give thanks to our Savior for everything. And my prayer is that everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, y'all. I pray you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Today we're going to be speaking out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be doing verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. But let me explain something to you as I was just sitting here listening to the music and kind of pondering what are we going to talk about, what to say. I was thinking about when we talk about bowing down to God, when we talk about worshiping God, when we talk about praising God, I've talked to enough heathens to know that when we say that, here's what they hear, y'all. Oh, you've got this narcissistic, megalomaniac God who needs you always praising him and puffing him up. You know, kind of like the earthly kings. You know, earthly kings, they want you to bow down to them so you can puff them up. And so they kind of associate our God with that same thought process. But I want you to understand that there's some things that God has requested of us to do. One of them is bow down, one of them is worship, one of them is praise, but not because he needs it. First and foremost, because he's worthy. And then also, I looked at it from another standpoint. Okay, everybody has a God. Everybody has a religious belief system of some sort, no matter what they say. The atheist has a religious belief system. He believes in himself, but he has a belief. And what God is saying to us, when you see here in 1 Thessalonians, you're looking at a group of people who they just thought the rapture took place, y'all. These were saved people who thought the rapture took place. And they're like, I've been left behind. How'd you like to wake up one day and Jesus came and you're still here? That's not a comforting thought. So Paul had to come and explain to them. He had to talk to them about the rapture and give them comfort on the rapture. And he also took up the topic of the first coming. And he explained to them about that and told them, get some comfort in the knowledge that the scriptures teach us. How does that play out today? We had the rapture, or the equivalent thereof, in many people's mind on election day. Oh, the world is coming to an end. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, and just like these people were shook up. And they were truly shook up because they felt something cataclysmic had taken place and they were going to get it. Paul took them to the scriptures. He said, let me comfort you with the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, I assure you, every hate group in America, be they black, white,
Chinese, or whatever, every hate group in America had somebody that they voted for before Donald Trump became president. It is not the end of the world. And while the world is getting shook up because they think it's the end of the world, oh, hate is going to reign. Go to your Bible. Start with your Bible. Because when God is telling us to bow down and worship and praise him, he's doing it A, because he's worthy, and he's doing it B, because he wants you, me, and all, he wants you and I, those who know him, to be able to point to those who don't know him. Because right now, I hope they're the only ones losing their mind. I hope none of God's folks are really shook up over the fact that a man, any man, is in charge of anything. I hope not the church. So how can we give them hope? How can we point them to Christ? How can we give them anything that they need if we're acting just like them? That's why God tells us to bow down. Because when they start going crazy, they're going to start looking at you and say, man, don't you know what just happened? Aren't you scared? Aren't you? And guess what? You get to point them to Jesus Christ. Because they know you praise him. They know you give thanks to him. And I hope they know that you rejoice in the Lord. Our scriptures for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16, 17, and 18. And it reads, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about the three R's of the Christian life. The three R's of the Christian life. See if I can get this thing to stay on here. Okay. For those of us who people refer to as school, I love that term. Hey, school. Just because I got a little gray in my beard. Okay. Hey, school. When I went to school, we had what they call the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Amen? Those are the fundamental things that we had to learn when we went to first grade, reading, writing, and arithmetic, because those were proven to be the foundations of a good, solid education. So that's why they did it for years and years and years and years and years. Well, I want to kind of transfer that over to our Christian life, because we're all at different spiritual levels. But even if we're all at different spiritual levels, there is a foundation that we have to start with. There's a foundation. There's a foundational thought process that goes into being a Christian. And I believe because of this situation, we're in 1 Thessalonians, the people were, see, it's hard for us to look at the paper and ink. It's hard for us to read where they're saying, what's going on? It's hard for us to realize the fear, the genuine fear that here you've been taught that you're not going to face the wrath of God, and now all of a sudden it looks like you're stuck. They were scared. So I want you to really understand that fear and understand that Paul took them to the scriptures to calm them down. Because in this world, we will face tribulations, right? That's what the Bible says. We will be persecuted, right? The Bible says that. But that is a far cry from God pouring out his wrath on the world during the great tribulation period. So what Paul said in this passage a couple times before here, he said, comfort one another. Comfort one another. So That's another reason we come to church, so that we can fellowship with one another, so we can be around believers, so that we can be around each other and comfort one another with the Word of God. The three R's of the Bible, of Christian living: rejoicing, requesting, remembering. Rejoicing, requesting, remembering. When we look at these three verses, each one of these verses breaks out that thought for the foundational Christian walk, one that will make us not get all shook up when things are shaking the rest of the world. Because we have to be the ones who man the lifeboats, y'all. We have the message of Jesus Christ. We are the only ones with hope. Everybody else has religion and some kind of work that they got to do to be saved. And you and I both know, we all know, it's by grace we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. But you have friends, and I have friends, and we have loved ones who are, the ship is going down, and the people who are manning the lifeboat, some of us are getting in before we let the other folks in. Hey, y'all, I got mine. Yeah, I see you. What about Jesus? Hey, you figure him out for yourself. I got him. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I don't want to tell you because I'm scared. I don't want to tell you because I'm too busy. And I don't want to tell you because I don't like you. But we man the lifeboats. We have to be the ones giving out the message of hope, directing the people who have no hope. And we can't do that unless we first do what he says in verse 16. We have to rejoice, y'all. We have to rejoice. Rejoicing is that calm inner happiness. We have to rejoice. Sometimes when I meet strangers, and sometimes when I'm just meeting other folks, they'll say, how you doing? And when I say this, I mean this. I say, it is well with my soul and the rest of me too. That's joy, y'all. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I have no clue. When I get in my car and turn out there on that street, I have no clue if I'm going to make it. I only live 12 minutes away from here. I have no clue if I'm going to make it. And if I'm all shook up and concerned and scared about what's going on out here, I can never tell anybody else about the joy that I have and the peace that I have in Jesus. This calm, glad happiness, for lack of a better word. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4-5. In verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. But right now, we're just dealing with the part where he says rejoice. Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Let your moderation, that's how you walk, how you talk. Are you getting shook up and shaken out and gone out of your mind while everything in the rest of the world is topsy-turvy? He said, let your moderation, that means don't go too far to the left, don't go too far to the right. Let your moderation be known to men. Why is that? Because God wants your friend, your brother, your sister, your enemy to know that you worship the one true and living God. So therefore, I don't lose my mind over this stuff. And he says, so why are you doing it? Why are you walking in it? Take joy. And how do we get that first joy? That first joy comes from the fact that Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus loves me. So I got joy because God first loved me. I didn't do any work. I didn't go out and slay a dragon. I was chosen by God through his election, and I believed on the name of Jesus Christ, and he saved me. And because of that, I got joy. And when I got joy, I got to let everybody else know I got joy. And that joy for the saints, for the people of God, that joy, it's got to be overflowing. It's got to be like Jeremiah said. It's got to be like a fire shut up inside of my bones. I just got to tell you about him. Instead of the hoopla, instead of the nonsense, because this world is perishing. But he says in his word, we can save some just possibly by fire. He said, if we will open up our mouth and if we will care enough about folks and but y'all, if you're a Toyota car salesman and I see your car over there, don't try to sell me a Volvo. I ain't buying it. If you thought it was that good, why ain't you driving it? We're telling people about Jesus. Oh, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, Jesus at supper time. And we're losing our minds. And we're more concerned about this, that, and the other. Yet you always have to be, you have to keep, you aren't getting yourself out of the world. You aren't taking yourself out of the world. But you don't let the world dictate how you think. You pay attention to the things, but you don't allow the world. The Bible dictates how we think. And he says, when he says, let your moderation be known, how we think and how do we conduct ourselves. He says, make it known. In other words, he wants you. Oh, my goodness. God wants you and me to be a billboard for Jesus Christ. Ooh, let that put some pressure on you. Next time you see Dak fumble the ball. Ah! We are a billboard, y'all. We're like a billboard stuck out there on Highway 360. An unavoidable issue. Because many of us, I know, and I know a lot of y'all personally, many of us, when you go home on Thanksgiving, you got to wear a hard hat because they're coming at you. They're coming when all that family staff, everybody had all the niceties and everybody ate. And how are you? How are you? I'm fine, thank you. How's your week? Oh, it's been nice. And then when you get down to, what do you think of the election? Better get that hard hat out. Because if you're going to stand for Jesus, you are going to have a contrary opinion of the world, of how they view everything. Everything. But it's not about me, Pastor. It's about Jesus. It is about you too. You and me. He says, let your moderation be known. Make sure people know that you're a child of the King. And they need to know it not only from just what you talk. They have to know it from how you walk. It's got to be there from how we conduct ourselves. It has to be, church. And then he says, rejoice. And rejoice always, because the day of the Lord is at hand. It's at hand. How soon is that going to be? The Bible says no man knows. But he says, work while it's day. Nobody in here, young or old, is promised another day. Nobody in here is promised another day. That's not being morbid. That's just the matter of fact. Just the matter of fact. So what we do is we live like there's no tomorrow. And we preach like it's going to go on for years.
because we got to get people equipped in case it does go on for years. Folks were talking to the Apostle Paul saying, are we in the last days? And Paul said, we're in the last days. That's 2,000 years ago. So when I preach, I'm going to preach like it might be going on for a while, but I'm also going to preach like I might not be here tomorrow. And I want you to live like you might not be here tomorrow. Take somebody to heaven with you. Give somebody else the opportunity to join you. If you know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, love somebody enough, somebody who you don't look like anybody you could like, don't look like anybody you would even care about, give them the gospel. And watch them turn from being your enemy to your brother or your sister in Christ if they receive the message of Jesus Christ. He says, rejoice. Romans 14:17. For the righteousness, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's not saying you don't need meat, you don't need drink, you don't need shelter. We need meat, we need drink, we need shelter. So what's he saying? He's saying, don't get hung up on meat and drink and shelter. Don't think that that's living. Don't think that is the height of your Christian walk, because now you got a 2,500 square foot or 3,000 or 4,000 square foot. Now I've made the Christian life. See, that's preached a lot. That's called health and wealth doctrine. That's called name it and claim it. Nothing wrong with having money. The Bible never condemns having money. Just don't let the money have you. But he says, don't think that because you can afford to go to this restaurant or that restaurant, or because you can drink the finest wines and you have the biggest, nicest house. He goes, don't think for a minute that that is what makes you a strong Christian, or that is what living is all about. Man, I've made it. Look, read the book of Ecclesiastes. You obviously haven't read the book of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon had everything. He had everything a man could want, and then some. And when it was all said and done, he said, it's just vanity. It's nothing. It's air. It's vapor. It's nothing. And he wasn't even putting down having things, y'all. That's the other extreme. He's just saying, understand that true joy is righteousness and peace. Verse 17, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, righteousness and peace. Hey, I'll take a moment here. Can I get a praise for peace? Can y'all say amen for peace? All y'all past 21, can you say thank God for a peaceful, let's start with a moment, okay? And then let's work our way up to a full 24-hour peaceful day. And praise God if we get to a peaceful week, to where the week has gone good. And you can't buy it, y'all. You can't buy it. So he's saying, here's what true Christianity is. When you get that righteousness and when you have that peace that surpasses understanding, and when you have joy in the Holy Ghost, not joy in what the Holy Ghost gives you, not joy in all that, but having joy in the fact that I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. My brother of the church I used to serve, he used to say, I used to call him Junior Preacher in Training. But he sang, he did all those old school songs. And he'd get up there and he'd say, I got Jesus. Anybody got the Holy Ghost? Anybody got the Holy Ghost? And I said, I got the Holy Ghost. I love it because, y'all, it's joy. It's joy, unspeakable joy.
And if you got the Holy Ghost, people know it, y'all, because of that calm inner joy, that peace that God gave you. It's a gift. And understand this. Please understand. Your friends, no matter how educated they are, no matter how successful financially they are, if they don't have Jesus Christ, they are absolutely, utterly lost. And God put you in their path so that they might see joy that only God can give. Peace that only God can give. That's why God tells us, this is a command. When he says rejoice, when he says rejoice evermore, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. He says, this is what I want you to do because I'm worthy and because I want them. I want that none should perish. I want them. I want to use you. Isn't that exciting to know that God wants to use you? God wants to use you and God wants to use me. Oh my goodness, the creator of all the heavens and the earth wants to use me. Didn't he just speak a word and everything came into being? Yes. But he wants to use you and he wants to use me that none should perish. And that we get the privilege and the opportunity to give them the word of God. When you start looking at these passages, whenever you see any passages about rejoice, says anything about rejoice, not too far away, you're going to see, usually you're going to see the word prayer and thanksgiving. Rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving. They're like peas in a pod. They just go together. When you're rejoicing, you pray. When you pray, you give thanks. Let's move on down to Romans 12:12. And it reads, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I told you when you see that word rejoicing, look soon. You're going to see the word prayer, and usually not too far away is thanksgiving. But look at the results. The reason that Paul was telling this to the Thessalonians, the ones who thought that they had been left behind, look at the. He says in 12:12, he says, when you know the word of God, when I know the word of God, it generates what, brothers and sisters? Patience in tribulation. We all have stuff going on in our lives, and I know if you're anything like moi, when I have tribulation, when I have trouble, I want it fixed. What's that? Let's see, what did it say? I need cash now. When I have tribulation, when I have trouble, I want it done and over with. I want it done. And that's a natural human mindset. I want my tribulations and my problems done away with sooner than later. But what's he saying in verse 12? He says, when you have that joy, when you have that joy of the Lord, you will gain. Look how God's always molding us, y'all. He's always molding us. You will gain the patience that you hitherto did not have. God is always making us more like him, shaping us more like him. The Bible says God is not tolerant, and he's not asking you and I to be tolerant of sin. He's asking you and I to be like him, long-suffering. Sometimes the closest people closest to us, they have some real shortcomings, y'all. Okay. Oh, it keeps coming off.
for you.
Okay. It's going to come off again. Okay. Here, I'll move it down a little bit. Okay. God is molding us to be more like him. And just stop and think about it. Just stop and think about it. Those of you who've been walking a Christian, well, not just been saved, but you've actually made a conscious decision to follow the Lord. Just think of the things you don't say to people. I mean, you don't have to tell nobody. You don't have to tell nobody. But just think of how you were just a few years ago, how I was just a few years ago, and how now, even when something bad happens, you know, I'm a carpenter. Oh. I'm a carpenter. And I can recall I can recall pretty clearly, it came kind of slow, but I can recall it to where the first time I hit my thumb with a hammer and nothing came out of my mouth. I thought, wow! And it was kind of unconscious. It was kind of, and I said to myself, whoa! Had this occurred just a little while ago, everybody in the building would have known that I hit my thumb with a hammer. I know you've been there. I know some of you are still halfway between the ow and the more. But I'm telling you, if you let that joy reign in your body, let that joy reign in your system, take in that peace that God gives you, it might be what's the word, imperceptible. But other folks will notice. And when they notice, guess who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Because they know you. They know you. And they say, it had to be God. And that gives you an opportunity to talk to him about the things of God. Amen. And when he says, rejoice evermore, that evermore means, and you're going to see that accompanied with all of these three R's. With the evermore, he says, that means until further notice. How much joy is enough? You keep rejoicing until further notice. That's what he means when he says evermore. That means start today. Start right now, right here, right now, and forevermore rejoice. The second R, requesting, making our requests known. And it reads, pray without ceasing. Prayer is requesting. When you have that joy, when you have that relationship, that right relationship with God, he goes, come to me. Ask me what you will. Pray. See, it's all about communication, y'all. God is about communicating with us. And I was looking up something, and I was trying to figure out communication. Because, you know, right now on the internet, things go so fast, you can't even hardly keep up with it. Y'all remember when we first started using dial-up on the internet, and you punch in your little stuff, and then you go cook your dinner, and then you come back and you watch the little and he's like, man, that was fast! That was fast! Now, I just looked up the fastest internet connection that they have today is 105 megabytes per second. 105 megabytes per second. And that might change by the time we finish this message. It might get faster. But look, that ain't nothing. Because by the time I say, Lord, help, he already heard me. Amen. Amen. That's quicker than quick. It ain't going to get a megabyte, a mega nothing go as fast as my prayer to God. Nothing. That's why he says, pray without ceasing. He says, because I already know what you want. You computer can't do that. He goes, I already know what you want. He says, but call on me. Call on me. Because why does he want us to call on him? He wants us to call on him because it builds a relationship of trust. It, God is not in need of us, but God loves, he enjoys the fellowship with us. And just like any good parent, and God is the best parent, he loves to do things for his children. I just boggles my mind when I think about in the Garden of Eden, where here, the God of God, the Lord of Lords, the King, the Creator of the entire universe, of the entire universe. Like he ain't got nothing else to do. In the cool of the evening, he come down and he say, Adam, did you have a good day? Think about that, y'all. Adam said God used to come down in the cool of the evening just to hang out with him and talk and walk with him in the garden. God hasn't changed that for his children. He just got more children. And he still wants to walk with you and talk with you. And these are the three R's. These are the things that I want you to understand. Get them in your spirit so that when you go into those tribulations, when you go into those difficult times, understand God says, I want you to rejoice. I'm telling you to rejoice. And I'm telling you to pray. Because sometimes when it hits real hard, we just don't know what to do. So we just throw our hands up in despair. It gets so hard in this world. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up in despair. He said, but don't despair. Rejoice and start praying. And make your requests known to God. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And it reads in the King James Bible. And it's talking about Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Brothers and sisters, when he says pray without ceasing, he's telling you here in Luke, there's going to be some times when you're going to be so disheartened, when things are going to be, the burden is going to be so heavy. He's saying to us here in Luke, before you say, I just can't take it anymore, remember, God has commanded us. He has commanded us to pray and don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop submitting your requests to God. No matter how impossible it may seem, God deals with the impossible, y'all. God has done the impossible for a long, 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 long time. The Bible tells me that Jesus went to a house where the 12-year-old girl was laying there and everybody, she's dead. She's dead. And Jesus said, no, she just sleep. And it looks so impossible. It looks so far gone. They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. So guess what that says to me? When you're praying for somebody to get healed and it's been going on for a long time and people say, Jesus, if God ain't said no, don't you faint. Don't you get weary. If you got a situation with your children and it's just for all intents and purposes, it looks like all hope is gone. Don't you faint. Don't you grow weary. You just call on the creator of all the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke a word and bam, the stars in the sky were there. Don't you get disheartened. Rejoice and rejoice again and understand that I'm not able and you're not able, but we're calling on the one who is able. And he's got a track record. He's got a mighty good track record. Pray without ceasing. Matthew 26, 40. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. This is where you get to see it in action, where Jesus takes his men with him to the garden. And it reads, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter," Peter, his main guy, Peter, the number one guy. He says, Peter, "What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How many times a week? And this is slapping your pastor upside the head. How many times a week do we sit in front of that TV set and we watch this 1 hour show and we watch this 1 hour show? And then we even have the audacity to sit down and watch a 2 hour football game and get upset if somebody says, "Hey, would you like to get out of here? Don't you know the Cowboys are playing? Get away, get away. Just get out." Hour after hour after hour. And Jesus says to you, to me, "Can't you just give me 1 hour? Ain't I worthy enough for 1 hour? I don't ask much out of you. I really don't ask much out of you. But can I get 1 hour out of you? I'll even let you break it up into 15-minute segments. Can I get 1 hour out of you? 1 hour of prayer." We sing about sweet hour of prayer. We don't know about sweet hour of prayer. The game's on. My favorite show is on. And you can even, I don't know what they call it, DVR. You can play it over and over again if you want to. Church, the three R's. He's saying rejoice. He said make your requests known. Pray. And he said to his disciples, the challenge for you and me. I think it's a wonderful challenge. I know it's a challenge for me. He said, can you give me 1 hour? Church, can we give God 1 hour? Can we give God 1 hour? Can I get an amen on that? Okay, 15-minute segments. I'll let you go. We want to say amen on that. We just give him, once we give him some time, guess what, y'all? Guess what? Once we give him some time, it'll be like hanging out with your best friend that you haven't seen in a while. The time will fly, and you'll be saying, is it over already? If you watch. Adam looked forward to that time, the cool of the evening, walking with his father. I looked forward to the days when I had my daddy all by myself, my earthly father. With 8 kids, it ain't too often that you get your daddy all by yourself. But man, what a joy to just me and him go fishing and just hanging out with each other. I had a wonderful earthly father, y'all. But he ain't nothing compared to Jesus. And Jesus, the creator of everybody and everything, is saying to you, and he's saying with me, saying to me, come on, hang out with me for a little while. Make your request known to me. Ask me what you will. Let me talk with you. Let me walk with you. The three R's: rejoice, requesting, and remembering. Remembering. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Okay. How does this work, church? How does this work? My car just broke down. I don't get paid for 2 weeks. I can't get to work without my car. and my credit score is 250. How is this going to work? He says, don't look at your circumstance. Look to me. Remember what I did for you before. He said, because I done brought you out some stuff. I have brought you, if you're over 21, he has brought you a long way. He has brought you and me, he's brought us a long way, y'all. And he goes, don't get to fretting and don't get to sweating over this situation. What I want you to do is remember what I did for you back yesterday, the day before that. Just remember, and then just start thanking me. Just start thanking me. Just start thanking me for all. And I dare anybody in here to start remembering the blessings that God has showered upon us in the midst. And he says, in everything. So he's saying, because you're going to be in some tough situations. But he said, in the midst of it, I want you to just start praising God. And I want you to start thanking God. And I dare you to stay depressed. I dare you to stay depressed when you start thinking about, oh, Lord, you got me out of that one. Lord, you got me out of this one. And all, most, not all, but mostly my doing. Mostly going left when he told me to go right. Mostly standing up when he told me to sit down. And he still brought me through because he's the best daddy. He's the best daddy you could ever have. And he says, now, before you start fretting like the rest of the world, I want you to rejoice. I want you to rejoice. I want you to spend some time rejoicing. I want you to make your requests known. And then I want you to think back on what all I've done for you. And I want you to remember. And I want y'all to understand, God has a real problem with people who don't say thank you. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Where God says that he did for the heathens. He did all these things for the heathens. And guess what? They didn't even say thank you. They were completely thankless to our Savior. But he says to us, he said, you need to rejoice. You need to request. And make sure you say thank you when I do what I always do, which is I bring my children through the fire. It's Romans 1. I forgot to tell you what scripture was. Romans 1, 9 and 10. Let me get myself there. Romans 1, 9 and 10. No, that's not what I want. I just want to tell you, see, I don't have my scripture here with me, so I'm just going to tell you what he says. He says that he did all his creating for all the world, and the unbelievers never even bothered to say thank you. Ah, there it is. Romans 1, 21, 22. Romans 1, 21, 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God says, all they had to do was say thank you, and I would have done that much more for them. But because the heathen didn't, and sometimes we don't, we miss out on blessings, y'all. We miss out on blessings. In Romans 12:12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Being thankful for all that God does, being rejoicing, requesting, and being thankful. And I have one last R that I want to give you. I know the text said the three R's, rejoicing, requesting, remembering. I got one last R I want to give you. All of these combined are for one purpose, to reach out. Why does he want us to rejoice? I told you, we're God's billboard. We are the one, we are plan A. There is no plan B. He says, you rejoice, it's a command. You request, pray, it's a command. You and I give thanks, it's a command. Why does he do it? So that we have the ability to reach out to all the lost of this world, church. Church, the purpose that Good Shepherd exists, the purpose that the Church of Jesus Christ exists, we have one primary focus and goal, and that is to reach out to a lost and unsaved world. It's nice to come to church and look nice. It's nice to come and hear the wonderful singing. But all of this was summed up on the cross. All of this was summed up when Jesus Christ was stretched wide and hung high. And the Bible says that he looked at the people who were crucifying him, and he made a prayer request. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And then he says to us, the resurrected Christ says to us, go get them. Go get them. Go get my enemies. Go get your enemies. Go get the folks who spitefully use you. And tell them the good news. Let them know that if they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, tell them, tell somebody that you shall be saved. Reach out. Reach outside of your comfort zone. Reach out to the lost. It's nice to give them turkeys. It's nice to give them gas money. It's nice to buy them a sandwich. But it's better to give them Jesus and him crucified. Rejoice, request, remember, reach out. The three R's plus one. God bless you.